was growing up and I'd attended secular high school, a good majority, and it's something that grew over the 4 years that I was in there, of the student population was made up of people who were members of the religion of the Latter-day Saints. We also call them the Mormons. And found that interesting with them, just how much it grew more and more with them. In the course of time with that, I often got into discussions with them of various points of their religion. Remember, one person that I knew made a comment in saying, of all the religions on the face of the earth, the only two that can claim to be true are that of the Latter-day Saints and that of the Catholics. I'm thinking, wait a minute, you can't have two, especially when their beliefs are so different. And where the major difference of them is that the people of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, do not believe that Jesus Christ is God, God forever, and that there is a blessed Trinity. God the Father, our Heavenly Father, as they call him, has been there from all eternity. The Holy Ghost is there, probably as God himself, but almost like a second particular point. And Jesus, he's the begotten of the Father in a special manner, a miraculous way, the Holy Ghost overshadowing Mary, but he's still a human being. And he learns how to become a God over a period of time. So by the time he dies and then he ascends into heaven, but doesn't really go to heaven. He actually kind of goes over and comes down in what we call North America today and founds the Church of the Latter-day Saints, or at least gets things going with that. Then he goes up to heaven. But he's still not truly a God equal to the Heavenly Father. He is one who learned how to become a God, and if according to follow the Mormon ideas, that as men they have, that when men die, they become gods over the various stars and planets that there are out there. I'm not here to discuss the whole merits and the points of the Mormon religion, but it's an interesting thing that of all the religions that lay claim to Christianity, these are the people who should in all reality claim it the least. Simply because if you're going to be Christian, and it's found in the Acts of the Apostles, that the followers of Jesus were first called Christian in Antioch. So we have that name tracing back all the way back to apostolic time. That name was given to the followers of Jesus who followed him in everything, including believing him that he was the Son of God and God himself, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. That's what it meant to be Christian, to follow his commandments, to be members of his church and so forth. That's what it means, honestly, to be Christian. Anybody who claims that name can only have it if they follow this. The Mormons don't. The Mormons don't accept Jesus Christ as God, eternal God, the hypostatic union of Christ as man and God together for the purpose of redemption. They don't accept all that. That's not there. His dying on the cross was something symbolic toward the Heavenly Father as an act that was necessary because he was such a good man, learning how to become God later on. They don't believe in the Trinity. Because they don't believe in the Trinity, they have no claim to Christianity. No religion that will not claim a belief in the Trinity, as God has revealed himself to us, has any claim in the truth. We are children, if you will, of a God who so loves us that he has chosen to reveal to us, this is what we call by sacred revelation, he has chosen to reveal to us certain mysteries that are beyond our human complete understanding. There's a pulling back of the veil, that's what revelation means, a pulling back of the veil to give us to something to understand a bit about what takes place within the life of God. The past 4 weeks, in talking about the Holy Ghost, we couldn't get past also talking about the life of the Blessed Trinity and how the Holy Ghost fit in that life of the Blessed Trinity in every way. We just couldn't divorce or separate ourselves from that. That was an important part of our discussion. So today what I want to talk about is not so much about the dogma of the Blessed Trinity, because we reviewed a lot of that particular things here, but the living of the Blessed Trinity, this particular mystery of faith, this particular work of revelation, how important it is, and what we need to understand and fulfill it in our lives and explain it to others in every particular way, because it is that important in our lives. It is what separates our religion, our faith, from any other religion on the face of the earth, if it's going to be claimed to be true and real, because we believe God came on earth and revealed himself to us in a way that we could understand it about the life of the Blessed Trinity, leaving far more left to our understanding, but as a matter of faith. In the back of the church, I've got some little things, and thank the sisters for having reprinted sections of the Catechism, My Catholic Faith, and just chapter by chapter of it, because it's such a wonderful catechism and so many things that are there. Anyway, I have a little stack of part of the reprint on Revelation. If you need to understand, review what Revelation is, how important it is for our lives, then you're the ones that need to take a copy of that from the back, take it home and read it. Maybe review it from time to time, because everything of our religion is so dependent upon this subject of Revelation. That God so loved us, He just didn't create us and abandon us. He didn't just create us or even come to redeem us and then walked away. He taught us. He revealed to us certain mysteries to show that as children of God, He loved us in this way and helped us by the grace of faith to understand certain things to a point, leaving the rest in heaven to be able to understand a little bit more, never being able, as long as we are creatures, to understand everything fully, because it's all part of the infinite God. But that's all part of what Revelation is all about, and the subject of the Blessed Trinity is that. The idea of the Trinity, three gods, not three gods, but three persons in one God, three persons in one being, the being God, and three persons there, and describing, as we've gone over the past few weeks, the elements of why we have the three persons, what their jobs are, if you will, so it makes our mind more at ease why there can be three gods, or three persons in God, rather, and not three separate gods. Recognizing these particular points here, this is a primary belief of our religion. Primary. If we don't have faith in this, if we don't understand it as far as we can, if we don't put it into practice what we believe in it, then our whole measure of faith that we've got as Catholics is going to fail. And this is what I mean by putting it into practice. According to like the gospel says for us today, Jesus sent forth the apostles to preach the gospel to every creature, to baptize them in the name of the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They were from that point on to teach men to observe all the things that He had commanded. So following the commandments of God, being baptized according to the Trinity, as Jesus had instructed the apostles how to do it, is essential. This is what makes us members of His church, children of God and heirs of heaven. This is how important this baptism is. With the various signs of the cross, which is another example of showing forth our belief in the Blessed Trinity, we say in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. We show forth that they are one God and three persons, all united together. We begin our prayers with that. So many of our ceremonies from baptism on have the course of the cross with it. During the Mass, the priest makes the sign of the cross many, many times over the offerings on the altar, and even on himself. At the Gospel time, you see him making the sign of the cross. It's small, but it's the custom of making the sign of the cross as has been in the church for centuries. From the forehead, just a small cross on the forehead, on the lips, and on the heart. We make these signs of the cross in this particular way during Mass, again, as an expression of our faith and our belief in the Blessed Trinity. In fact, if you've ever been at the Requiem ceremonies of the church, been there when someone has died, the body is laid out here in the church, after the Requiem Mass and before the body is taken to the cemetery, the priest prays some prayers here in the church over the body. Because the body, as one of the prayers says, has been sealed with the sign of the Holy Trinity. During its life, this body has been placed in honor and shown honor with the Blessed Trinity. And that way, this body should be honored, not cremated, not destroyed, not do anything of that, but should be given due and proper honor in the church. Because of that seal of the Blessed Trinity placed upon it by so many ways, at baptism, confirmation, and so forth. All of these things are important to us because it's all part of our primary belief. The Blessed Trinity and these works are a part of it in every way. Now, going back to baptism, this is more of the idea where I'd like to talk about a bit more today. When we're baptized, we're not just made children of God and heirs of heaven. We receive a commission, just like the apostles did, to bring people to salvation, to help people to save their souls, to reach out to those in family, friends, work, school, whatever. Reach out to them and bring them into salvation. This is our job. It's our responsibility. It's not just with priests or religious or missionaries or whatnot. All of us have the responsibility from baptism to help people come to faith in whatever measure it is that God places these people in front of us. This sharing of our beliefs and what we have, starting with the Blessed Trinity and all the other dogmas of our faith, this sharing for this shows that we have a love for our holy religion. Those who don't want to talk about religion to anyone, it either shows that there's something wrong with them, they're embarrassed about their religion, they don't want to share it, well, many people think they're weird by being religious in some particular way, or there's something wrong with their ideas about religion. The ideas they claim to have of it are wrong. And that's the reason, again, why they won't share. We need to bring people closer to God, both by our actions and by words. God will put people in front of us every day or from time to time in the course of our lives who will ask us questions about the Catholic faith, especially if we tell people we're Catholic and in some measure of our lives give good example to show that we are Catholic in belief. We don't just have the word, but we actually practice it. These people are going to ask questions from time to time. And it's going to be up to us to answer those questions. We're not all called to be theologians. We're not. That's not what God asks us to do. But he does ask us to have such a love for what we have of our faith that we're ready to share it. That we can talk to people about it in every way. There's a little booklet on sharing our faith with other people. It begins with 6 points of what to do when you're sharing your faith with others, how to do it correctly, so it to be profitable in bringing people closer to God. I'll quickly go through them here because they are worthwhile reviewing while we talk about this idea of the mysteries of our faith and explain these mysteries or the truths of our faith to people whom God puts in front of us. That's the whole key here. There are many, many souls to save. Not every priest or religious can reach every soul, but you can. That's what Catholic Action is all about. Work, school, family, friends, neighbors, whatever. From time to time, God's going to put somebody in front of you to ask a question. It's going to be up to you to be ready to answer that question. This becomes rule number one. Make sure you know what you're talking about. Don't spout off on something because you found something on some blog on the internet. Nor don't say, well, I don't know what it is. You know, I studied in catechism, but I've forgotten it all right now. Guaranteed you're going to demonstrate that person that faith really doesn't mean anything to you. It's something that I've learned, that I've studied. I continue to study because it's important. It's my first career. So many people go and they take part, you know, in all these career building seminars and all this kind of stuff and all they've got to do. When it comes to the Catholic faith, few opportunities that are presented to people are ever filled with people who have the interest in their faith to build it up strong, make whatever they've known before. There's no new truths, it's the way it's presented. But human nature being what it is, we're going to forget things enough from time to time. We need to review, and review from proper sources. If we don't know enough about the essential elements of our truth, if we don't know enough of the essential elements to save our own souls, we're in trouble. And especially going to be in trouble if someone comes and stands in front of us. God has put this person in front of me right here, right now, today, to ask a question. Why? How come? And we've got to give good answers. Good reading, listening to sermons, and not forgetting them 2 days later. Listening to sermons. Asking questions about things themselves. What we do with our Catholic Action Study Group things. Those type of things are all measures of helping us to grow in our knowledge of faith so when God puts that person in front of us, we're ready. The second rule in working, helping with people to come to the knowledge of faith is to wisely choose the occasion for talking about religion. Don't force it. Let's say, for example, you're with somebody in a baseball game, and the home team is up, and there's three men on base, and they've got a batter up, and he hits a home run. You got to know that stadium is going to go nuts with people cheering. Everybody's standing up at that particular point. You know, the grand slam has happened. It's such a wonderful thing. And you want to use that opportunity to talk to somebody about the Blessed Trinity. Everybody's standing and cheering. It's like, hey, did you ever hear about the Blessed Trinity? I would hope you would think that that's not the right time to do it. You would choose a better occasion to say, gee, I've thought about all this time. This is the time I'm going to do it. When the mind is so distracted off on other things. Also, don't push topics on people. If, and I remember reading this in a spiritual writer years ago, and it's just been a point that we have to keep in mind on this subject. Let's pray to the Holy Ghost, our guardian angel, to our Blessed Mother, to know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. If we would get in the habit of praying that way every day, or even when we think, I've got to tell this person this particular thing right now, but I'm going to take it out of context in order to force my context into it, we're not always going to work the things of God. What to say, how to say it, when to say it. Important prayer every day, so that if God puts that person in front of me right now today, I will know. This is the right time. Not later, but this is the right time to do it. Third point. It's good for us from time to time in talking to people about the truths of our faith. To help them understand what faith means to me. How I practice it, how real it is and everything. The doctrines, the love of my faith, all these various things. The rosary, the Sacred Heart, Magna Heart of Mary, the saints, angels, all these type of things. Explaining to others what they mean to me. Explain to others in my own words and how it affects me the Holy Eucharist. When I receive Holy Communion and how much peace and strength comes to my soul every time I do that. That I can come to church and it's not an ordinary building. This is a temple of God because God is here on the altar. And I know that. I'm not a religion of feeling, but it's a religion that gives me strength to know this is my God and what's there. No other religion on the face of the earth can claim that. And if you, too, become Catholic, you'll be able to understand that as well. That what I'm experiencing right now will be something you, too, will be able to experience. After talking about these personal experiences, this is part number four. Be ready to give to people something to read on the topic you've been discussing. To give them further understanding about particular points. The whole reason why the Catholic Research Institute, founded by the sisters, the work that they do, the reason why they put that together 15 years ago was to provide material to everyone, to every Catholic, for this purpose. Either self-education or to have something to give to somebody else to reinforce certain ideas to help them understand the truths of their faith. So few people take advantage of what are present there. I don't know if it's because the sisters are here in the parish, we know them, it doesn't mean that much to me, or I don't think it's enough, I don't have to worry about so much about having good reading material to build up my own knowledge for that person whom God puts me in front of, and or, at that particular point, to be able to give a certain reading material to reinforce what we've been talking about. Tell them to understand things a bit more. Reading does that. Faith comes by hearing, yes. But it also comes by reading and understanding things. If you've ever taken the time to look at the catalog, or at least the recent postcards we mail out to most of the people in the parish, of the things available, the sisters make available here, it's a wealth of treasure and of information you're not going to find most places on the face of the earth. It helps individually, and it helps to be able to deal with people and help them with reading that takes place. From baptism, we are called to be apostles. This is one of the tools that we can use to be truly apostolic. People don't, I guess, because they don't think they're apostles to bring people in. Or that reading isn't that important, especially for them. I've read everything. I was taught the catechism at school. I hear long sermons from Father every Sunday. It's not that important for me to read more. Boy, that's a wrong attitude. I don't care about the long sermons part. Because most of the time, this is the only time most people take for their instruction during the week. So if it's a little bit longer, It's the way it is. But it's putting it into practice. Being willing to bring a friend to Mass or to CCD classes. Be on the lookout for good material to share with other people. You do it in the business world. You do it in school. Why can't you do it in religion? Because religion for most people doesn't have the same meaning for them as business and school. It's not real enough. Comes to number five. Don't argue with people about the truths of the faith. Arguing gets you nowhere. All arguing does is get the passion of anger going on the inside. And the justice of God is not worked by the anger of man, we're told in the scriptures. If you're going to talk to people and you're going to talk about Christianity, the peace that it brings, the wonderfulness of faith, talking to somebody and said, "You're a sad person, this is what it is, you're a heretic," and all these different things, goes nowhere. You are proving to people that your religion means nothing to you because your passions have been brought into control. There are so many times if you're going to talk to people, they're going to bait you to get angry and lose yourself and say, "See, I proved my point. Your religion really doesn't do anything for you because it gets you all angry. Think I should become Christian and be angry like you?" No. They baited you. You've lost. For example, somebody may say, in order to bait you, "I believe that all religions are equally good." They know where we stand. And to make that statement that all are equally good is there to bait someone here, to get angry and start talking about things. Well, why not do the Irish thing? Answer a question with a question. Why not ask a particular person here, "What do you mean by religions? What do you mean?" Because I need to know your definition of religion before I can make a comment on what you're saying. They're all equally good. The Dalai Lama thinks he's God. That's a religion. The Christians believe that there is a God in heaven, not the Dalai Lama. So what do you mean by religions? The Muslims don't believe, the Jews don't believe in a Trinity. Christians do. There's spiritists out there who don't believe there's anything point of real there. We can go through and all the weird religions that have come up over the past 40 or 50 years. Scientology and things of that particular nature. All these are equally good for people, and they have such a divergence of belief. What do you mean by religion? Put it back on that person. Don't get angry. Have that person come back and explain. And if the whole bait thing dies, it's because we caught the person not asking an honest and good question from an honest seeking for truth, but just to get people riled up and getting nowhere. And that brings the last part, the sixth part. If we've been involved in a sincere discussion with people about the truths of our faith, leading people along, don't just end it at that point and say, "It's been nice talking about these things," shake hands, and off you go. Encourage the person to prayer. Faith is a gift. To get people to come to the knowledge of the truths of our faith, it takes faith. Faith just doesn't happen just because of my words or some books or something of that nature. Faith is a gift from God. It takes grace for someone to accept the faith. We can have the best of arguments. St. Thomas Aquinas can come back and live among the earth again and start talking to people, and they wouldn't believe, as smart as the man is, as everything that he had, they wouldn't believe unless they had faith. Faith doesn't come by pounding it into somebody. Faith doesn't come by reading. Faith comes from God. It's a gift. And it's up to that person, when the gift is offered to them, to accept it, to recognize it for the treasure that it is, and make it a part of their lives. So that's why we encourage, at the end of all these discussions, especially ones that we know are fruitful, pray. Let's pray together that what we have talked about today will take root in our hearts and help us to go and serve God better each and every day. Like I said in the beginning, we're all called to be apostles, to bring people to Almighty God. The first truth of our faith is out of the Blessed Trinity. Let's mark today this. We're at the beginning of the summer, first Sunday of June and moving on. That from this point on, let's use from this Trinity Sunday through the summer, when people have more time, it seems, use times to study our faith, review our faith, Remember what St. Peter tells us in one of his epistles. He says, be ready to give reasons for the faith that is in you. Be ready to give reasons. Somebody asks you, why are you a Catholic? Well, my parents had me baptized, and that's all I do. If that's your only reason, boy, you're not a very good Catholic. Somebody asks you, why do you go to church on Sunday? Because I have to. Is that your reason for it? You have no faith then. St. Peter says, give reasons for the faith that is in you. That's just two questions of many, many, many questions we'll be involved in the course of our lives. God will put people in front of us at various times of our life to ask us questions. We've got to be ready with the reasons. By our prayers, by our study, by enlightenment from the Holy Ghost, we'll have those reasons. And we'll be able to help save souls. We'll fulfill the mission God has given to us from baptism and successfully bring one person to another to Him. This is how we're going to convert the earth. Not by huge seminars and things of that nature. We're going to be more successful one soul at a time. And when that one soul comes in front of us that God has put there, we better be ready. Or else we're going to fail that lesson. And that soul, instead of having that one opportunity to come closer to God, won't have that opportunity to do so at all. It's that important for every one of us, not just priests, not just religious, every one of us. Let's pray for the grace to take this duty seriously so that souls can be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.